McShane Bible Study. We are in day 312, starting in 2 Kings 21. What was your question?
What does it mean that he also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshipped them?
So ESV has it as, it's the same thing, it's just different words, but verse 3 says, "For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them." Verse 5 says, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So this is about Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, who Hezekiah had been a good king, at least for most of his life, and then his son became a very bad king for a long time. And he's describing some of the crucial things that he did. We've kind of talked about this a lot. Like, he wasn't rejecting God. Mm-hmm. But his heart wasn't to really follow after God. And he saw other people worshiping other gods. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted those too. That's always the heart of man, right? I want God, but I also want my own way. I want these mm-hmm. other things. Mm-hmm. And so these other people worship these gods, and they get to do this in their life, and I want that too. I want it all, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it's calling here the host of heaven. He's saying, well, there's many gods. Well, what's nice for the flesh when there's many gods is, well, I can always ascribe something that I want to one particular God, and then that makes anything I want to do okay. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I'm just drawing this out to show how it applies to normal or modern life. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, there's very few people walking around that say they believe in all sorts of different gods that they would call gods. Mm-hmm. However, we do it mm-hmm. in our life. We have idols in this life that we mix in with the worship of God, right? Mm-hmm. And God has always said, I hate that. Mm-hmm. That is not okay. Old Testament and New Testament, right? Mm-hmm. He says, follow my way. And what does he say? When they describe how, you know, Manasseh does all these things, he says, there's prophets that came and said, look, you're bringing judgment mm-hmm. on all of Judah, right? He said, this is the place, Jerusalem, the place, this, the house, mm-hmm. the temple, that God told David and Solomon that if you simply walk in my ways, I will always bless you. But you are not walking in my ways. Mm-hmm. And there was a curse that was always attached to that, right? Mm-hmm. Because the world is under the curse of Satan. Mm-hmm. And God has provided a way into blessing. But if you don't come into that way of blessing, you are under the curse, right? Mm-hmm. So that happens. And then Manasseh dies and his son Amon reigns. He only reigned 2 years, but he continued on in the ways of Manasseh. Mm-hmm. And then we see their son Josiah is going to come along, who's going to be another good king. But we'll get to that tomorrow. And then we're moving on to Hebrews 3. And what was your question?
Why does he need to explain that Jesus is better than Moses or greater?
Yeah, so he goes on to compare Moses and Jesus. And he's writing to Jews. And this actually fits in mm-hmm. very well with what we were just discussing. Mm-hmm. Now, again, they were not trying to put up multiple gods. Mm-hmm. None of these people in this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. They knew there was only one God, mm-hmm. okay? However, they were holding up Moses as an idol mm-hmm. that was getting in the way of them coming into the fullness of the life provided by Christ. Mm-hmm. You see that? Now, Moses was a man of God, right? Mm-hmm. He gave the law, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a very important part in God's plan. And so it's not like they were creating something totally evil to hold up as an idol, mm-hmm. right? But they had gotten set in their ways because they'd mm-hmm. spent their whole life revering Moses as this great man of God. And they were had a hard time understanding God was doing something greater. Mm-hmm. That there was a bigger glory coming. You see that? Mm-hmm. And so Paul's explaining it. And I was kind of surprised as I was reading it. It's very similar to what I was explaining yesterday. I forgot that this is where Paul was going to go with this letter. Remember when I was explaining how the relationship between a father and son is greater mm-hmm. than a covenant? Because a covenant is a law, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The relationship between a father and a son goes beyond that, mm-hmm. right? Well, that's exactly, I forgot. That's exactly where the writer of Hebrews, if you don't think it's Paul, goes with this letter. And he says, verse 5, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. So Moses is good, right? He was faithful servant to God. 6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. He says, we are God's house if we continue in this way, right? Mm-hmm. And he had said previously, I guess I didn't highlight it when I went through before your question, but he talks about, so Moses is faithful, like the builder of a house, mm-hmm. but Jesus is faithful like the owner of a house, right? Mm-hmm. The builder of the house has some glory. The owner of the house actually owns the house. Mm-hmm. It's much deeper than that, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're a builder of a house, you're going to take pride in, look what I've created, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to take a certain pride in that. Mm-hmm. But if you own it and you live there over a long period of time, well, you're far more intimately, the house is part of you. Like somebody mm-hmm. built this house. We don't even know them, right? Mm-hmm. But there are people working on this house for, I think that takes 9 months or so to build a house. I'm not sure. Yeah, there were people that were working on that. And they took some pride in the fact that, look, there was nothing here before I came and now there's this house, mm-hmm. right? There's a certain glory in that, right? Mm-hmm. But this is our house. We've lived here 8+ years, right? Mm-hmm. We have memories built in this house for a long time. Mm-hmm. We know we'll be here tomorrow. Unless the Lord, you know, changes, we'll be here in a year, you know? It's more intimately ours, right? Mm-hmm. Our lives are more intimately wrapped around this place, mm-hmm. right? He said Moses had an important function to bring the mm-hmm. law, but Jesus is over the house. He's the ruler of the house of God, right? The house of God. And who is the house mm-hmm. of God? He says us, mm-hmm. so long as we continue in God's way, which transitions to what happened to the people. Let's read 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why is he bringing this up? The religious mm-hmm. spirits say, yeah, those people in the past messed up, but were blessed. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They had greater reason to think they were blessed than we did. Mm-hmm. They got pulled out of slavery in Egypt. Mm-hmm. The Lord did something mighty, the most powerful king in the world. The Lord showed many, many signs and wonders of destruction against that king. They got all the gold and silver, all the wealth. They've been slaves. They got all the wealth from the neighbors. And they came out of Egypt rich. Mm-hmm. The Lord splitted an ocean so they could walk through on dry land for them. Mm-hmm. Has the Lord done any of that for us? Mm-mm. No. So who was blessed? They were blessed. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. But did they continue on and trust God that he was really going to do what he was showing them and promising them he was going to do? Or did they revert back to thinking of themselves as just another people trying to figure out their own way under their own devices?
The second option.
Right. And God said, I can't use you if you're not going to have faith and believe that I'm bringing you into something greater.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to trust me and be my people, then you can't be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And judgment's going to come upon you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says to 12. So he's talking to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm trying to make it clear because we can. That's the way people read the scripture. Oh, yeah, those people were bad. I'm blessed. I'm trying mm-hmm. to make it clear. And that's what Paul's doing too. Mm-hmm. Paul's trying to make it clear. Look, it's the same reality. God hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
God is inviting you into tremendous blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't choose the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He's saying, don't allow, the world will turn you away from this living way. Don't allow that to happen. 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Probably didn't need to read all that. I just kind of said that, right? But verse 19. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Okay, so I mean, we're cutting off because we're only doing one chapter today. But he's going to talk about the importance of faith.
Mm-hmm.
God is inviting us further into his kingdom, which is a spiritual life, a spiritual reality that exists even in this world, which is of a lower order, a lower existence.
Mm-hmm.
He's inviting us into a higher existence with rules that are above and beyond the rules of this world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says the way to enter in is through faith. The mm-hmm. people that came out of slavery in Egypt did not have faith to defeat the giants because the giants were big and scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what had God just done? God was obviously bigger and more powerful than them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to give you this. You just got to fight the mm-hmm. battles, but I'll make sure you win the battles, right? Mm-hmm. God is saying the same thing to us.
Mm-hmm.
There are difficulties, there are troubles, there's scary things.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to bring about a people who are the fulfillment of his house in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
His living temple.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want a people who will be this. But my people have to give themselves fully to me so that I can transform you and put all of who I am in you so that the world can know me, my mm-hmm. glory, my purpose, my plan through my people, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing. We have to have faith in, yes, Lord, I know I'm not worthy of that, but you are worthy. And I mm-hmm. fully believe you're going to do that in my life. And Lord, I continually, every day, look, how can I change? How can I grow? How can I be fully obedient to what you're doing so that the fullness of your plan comes to pass in me and those around me and in those I don't know around the world, Lord? He's not just doing this here. He's doing it all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we're into Hosea 14, the last chapter of Hosea. I really like how this lines up. Did you notice how it kind of lines up with a lot of what we were just talking about? Verse 1 says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. So it's a lot. You know, he spent this whole book talking about the judgment on the people for turning away from him. Mm-hmm. Right? The theme of Hosea is, look, I am God and you are my wife, but you've been going after others.
Mm-hmm.
You've been like a wayward prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to being my wife. Right? That's mm-hmm. the message of Hosea. And there's judgment on. There's tremendous consequences for going your way. But I want to bless you. And that's how he ends in this chapter. Verse 3, Assyria shall not, so his is kind of the people. You know, the people come back. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more our God to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. So the people saying, realizing the ways of the world, there's no salvation. They seem good. Mm-hmm. All these different ways of the world seem good to us. Uh-huh. But what we find in the end is there's no life in them. There's only death. Mm-hmm. Right? And he says, I will heal, this is verse 4, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. So the apostasy, the ways in which they've gone after other idols, other gods, mm-hmm. The ways in which we live for ourselves, for the world, and not for God. He says, I will heal them. I will love them. My anger, my judgment is turned away from them. 7, they shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. So we see a people of God saying, oh, okay, there's no life in this. I will turn back to you, Lord. And then we see them entering into the blessing, right? The last verse is, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. He's just repeating what's been already stated so many times by God through so many different covenants and the law and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. God's way is good. He loves us, and his plan for us is better than anything we can come up with for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we get confused because Satan is the ruler of this world, and so we are very susceptible to believing that the ways of those around us, mm-hmm. the ways even of our flesh, mm-hmm. can be better at times. And so we can choose to go those ways. Mm-hmm. But what God has always said is, if you'll choose my ways, I will bless you, and it will be better for you than anything you could have chosen for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's how Hosea ends his book. And we are wrapping up in Psalm 75 and 76. And we kind of continue with the same theme, right? Mm-hmm. Psalm 75, 2 says, at the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. In other words, God's saying, I have a plan. And even mm-hmm. though the earth is operating outside of the initially established plan, I have not changed my mind, and everything will still come about as mm-hmm. I have known. Because even though Adam had his chance, Israel had their chance, mm-hmm. I understood what decisions they would make from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I created all the world through Jesus, mm-hmm. right? In order to have him bring about my plan through a people that are his life, right? And so he says, I will judge in the end mm-hmm. who's party to this and who decides to be party to the ways of the world. The last verse 10 says, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. And Psalm 76, similar thing, verses 8 and 9. From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still when God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. Moses was called the humblest man who ever lived, mm-hmm. right? Us who put God and his ways above our own. That's mm-hmm. an act of humility, right? That's a life mm-hmm. of humility. Mm-hmm. If we live that way, right? And there are certain times and seasons when God moves and does a big thing. Mm-hmm. And we see God uttering judgment from the heavens, the earth fearing. We mm-hmm. see a lot of fear in the world right now, right? Mm-hmm. But God has his plan and his purposes. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you offer us this life, this promised land, right? It's kind of what Hebrews was alluding to, the people of Israel coming into the promised land. Well, that's just a picture of the kingdom of heaven, right? Which is all Jesus and the apostles preached about. A coming kingdom of heaven, right? Whether it be Moses, whether it be David, they were all just types and shadows of God's plan in the world to establish a kingdom, which is a supernatural, a spiritual kingdom overlaid. Eventually, it'll be the only thing, right? Satan will be locked up. Satan will be destroyed, whatever. But in the meantime, there has to be a people willing to enter his kingdom, even while we were in this earth. So we have a multidimensional reality open to us if we have the faith to enter in. That's what God's doing in our time. See that? Well, thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. You have anything else?
No.
All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you.